CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's Tuesday. CliffCentral.com. We are live, the 5th of January. And we are joined this morning, as usual, on a Tuesday by Mbulelo. I don't know how much longer, though, because he's so busy with his plans for the new year that he's probably not going to be on the show for very much longer. So you better enjoy him while he's here. That's Mbulelo Tinta and Sia Sangweni, who, thank God, is not planning to go anywhere, but he's still in Durban with the family. Said he's headed back on the weekend. What's it like in Durban at the moment?
Very dull and grey. There hasn't been like these hot summery days that we're used to.
Not that you would know what to do with them if they did come along, because you can't go to the beach, you can't go to anywhere. Anywhere exciting.
And I think we've all lost our sneakiness and initiative at the beginning of lockdown, where we used to signal to our friends, okay, I'll leave my house at 8:40. You leave your place at 8:50, and then we'll be jogging, and somehow we'll meet each other together. Or no, you go to the grocery store at 9, and I'll be there at 9:51, and somehow, you know, yeah, we lost all of that, so... No, I'm not in the mood to make plans for anyone either.
So, Mbulelo, everybody wants to know what you did for New Year. We can't hear you.
We can't hear you. You're on mute. Ah, the first year
coin in the jar
for
the
2021.
Year. Okay. Yes, go ahead. Now we should be able to hear you. No, still nothing.
Yeah, still.
God hates you, Mbulelo. You better come back. Log off, come back in. All right. Well, while he's getting ready to go,
how you need to get right with one most high.
So it took us one day of being back on the show for us to get some very serious and stern criticism from one of our listeners, which I'll get to.
Are we in trouble?
Well, listen. I mean, it's all part of my take on 2020 that I'm not going to let these things get to me. But Mark sent me an email, which is. He's pretty critical. He says he's hating the show, and he really doesn't know if maybe it's time for him and the show to part ways, and there's so many other things that he could listen to. And I mean, I don't want to hold you back, Mark, so I'll read the email to everybody, and you can decide whether you agree with him or not, because, you know, it is a new year. You get to decide on new habits, new experiences. We've been doing the show. Yes. It'll be 7 years in May. So, you know, you get the 7-year itch, and maybe it's time for people to move on. Hey, Mbulelo, you back? Let's see if we can hear him this time.
I am back, and I feel good
about
it.
There we are. Okay, you feel good, right?
I feel great. I feel better than ever.
It's a bit of a lag on your line, and you're in the studio. I'm good. So what did you do for New Year, dude?
Did nothing. Hey, I had a friend here from Sweden, so she came to hang out for about a week, and I was just exercising and eating the best food on the planet. So I was in bed by, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock on the 31st.
Do you?
Now, when and how do you eat the best food on the planet? When one of your predicaments late last year was the fact that Joburg wasn't up to your food standard.
Terrific. I'm glad you asked. It's always great when people ask good questions. So I had a friend... I had a friend of mine who owns a game farm bring me venison meat.
You eat venison. That's good shit.
Like I said, Joburg doesn't have good food. Hey, I had to import it. I refuse to this year go and shop at any of the shops for meat or anything. I'm gonna take even my diet to the next level. Mm. So there we go. That's to answer your question. Is I'm not eating your store bought meat. I'm eating Impala venison.
So the steak, Sparta. I can see you. All right. Very good. Oh my God!
Well.
And you can cook.
I'm the tutti frutti one in the sponge. I'm not so highfalutin.
No, you are. Yes, you are. You have got such a superiority complex. I'm not even going to go down
there. Put parsley in 2-minute noodles, that's fancy enough for me. I don't have to import my meat from a different province.
But you also, to you, food is not the be all and the end all. You don't really prioritize food. You never have. You just kind of eat to live. Bulelo, you can cook, huh?
I'm the guy. I'd say I'm the guy in the kitchen. Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah.
I had a
highly domesticated.
I had a holiday braai. Also, just one of my friends popped around and brought steak, and we just did steak. Nothing else. No vegetables, no salad, no nothing. It was just steak, and it was a beautiful lunch. I mean, it was just done. You know when you braai a steak really well, you sort of go for a medium rare consistency, and then you slice it into pieces. So it's just little strips. Oh, man, that was one of the best meals of the lockdown, and that I can do. I mean, I can cook a steak, but don't ask me to do anything more complicated than, you know, basic braai stuff. And I mean, I can't bake and all that shit, but I can make food that's enviable, that you'd want more of.
What did you do for the sort of Christmas period? Because, I mean, for me, my year kind of stayed the same. If anything, I was training harder because I had more time.
Yeah, I didn't really – I gave myself a bit of a break from the routines because I think that's important too. Otherwise, you just don't really feel like the year has ended. But otherwise, I was just at home, man. I said in an Instagram post, you know, we've been talking to Phil from DeWitt Motors. So it shouldn't come as any surprise to people on the show that this is a, you know, a relationship that we've had for a while now. In terms of, I don't own a car right now, which is great. And Phil's kind of giving me different cars. And for the last maybe month and a half, 2 months, he's given me this diesel C-Class, which is also a hybrid. And I filled it up at the end of November, maybe
you filled it up.
So I filled it up at maybe the end of November, perhaps the first week of December, but certainly no later than that. And I still haven't filled that car up. I haven't been to the petrol station since then because I've driven that little. Although I must tell you, the mileage on the car, even when you do drive significant distances, is incredible. And I spoke to him about this on the show not so long ago. I think you can listen to the episode. It's on cliffcentral.com. But I did a back and forth to Durban and then later on to Sabi Sands and Mpumalanga. And both times I didn't need to fill up the car until I got home again. So that's impressive. But really, I didn't have any big grand plans for the holiday. I really just wanted to chill out, spend a lot of time with family, which I did. I was very pleased to do that. And we're starting something new today, which I think might be quite cool. It's called One Thing for the Week, or The Thing for the Week. I haven't decided what we're going to call it yet. I haven't really, you know, applied my mind to that. But it's going to be one thing that we all get to do every week. And it's not a motivational thing at all, but it's like one of those interesting, cool, positive, practical things that you can do in your life, because I think a lot of us are searching for meaning, purpose, and for a little bit of variety. You know, lockdown, a lot of people don't admit this, but it probably has taken its toll in ways that you don't even realize. Just because you're not getting out there as much, you're certainly not meeting as many new people as you might have before, and social media does not stand in for that. I don't care what anyone tells me. I read the most brilliant article, which you have to hear about. It's long, and I'm not going to read it to you. I can post links to it later on, but wow. All about Generation Z and the kind of problems that they are having in the first world, and just how unattractive and disinterested in having sex with each other, and wow. I suppose androgynous and dull and unsexy that whole generation has become. It's one of the most off-putting things I've ever read when it comes to, and I've seen it. I've actually seen it in you know, you'd see it in some of the pop stars and that kind of thing. But we'll get into the detail of that later in the week. I don't want to spoil it now. But it's a really, really impressive article and had me like up last night thinking about it, because if this is the future of humanity and these are the kids that we've produced to take the world forward. And I know every generation complains about, you know, what comes afterwards. But since I don't have kids, it wouldn't bother me as much as it would parents. And yet this one really did. It got me thinking. And I want to share that with you. So we'll get into it later on. But I do want to get to Mark's email, because Mark is full of advice for us this morning. And he didn't waste any time. He went straight for the genital area in his criticism of the show. So let me get to this. So here's Mark. He says, I've been a listener from the start, 6 years. During the early years, the 12-hour programming was top-notch. There was variety, second to none. Fact is, I'm not sure you offer anything else other than the morning show, Blind History. If you do, you're not promoting it. Well, I mean, we stopped doing a lot of that kind of low-quality stuff. And I'm not saying that all the stuff outside of our show was low-quality, but we, you know, we let people come off the street and host shows, and we had a huge stable of talent.
Literally.
Yeah, and we had a huge stable of talent, but it just became unsustainable from a business point of view, Mark. So I'm not going to make excuses there, but we were never meant to be a 24/7 channel. You know, it was meant to be a bespoke, curated channel of content which we would over time refine and get better at. And the idea in the beginning was to open it up to everybody so that they could bring ideas and we could experiment. But for the first 4.5 years, that was sufficient. And after that, it became a cost item to keep the doors open from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. and then repeat the shows at night and have lots and lots of people in and out. And, you know, it became unwieldy. So we made the decision that for the survival of the business, it was probably necessary to just trim the fat in certain places. And also, a lot of those shows, as funny or interesting or as cool as they were, they didn't have enormous audiences. So there was no business case to be made for them. So that was part of why we gave that up. And Blind History is an example of where the business side of things and the content side meet beautifully. So I'm very proud of Blind History. I'm glad you enjoy it. But it's not my job to put up 12 hours of content a day for you. And as you say later on in the email, there's lots of cool stuff out there. He says, as competition increases with podcasts, I'm discovering lots of interesting stuff to listen to everywhere. So you really need to consider upping the game and standard of your offering. The alternative is to shut it down and embark on another venture. So Mark sparing no criticism. But here's what he also says. He says, as far as your show goes, there is too much gayness, sleaze, and strong language. I don't know what he's talking about there. I mean, what do you make of that? Can you help me figure that out?
You know,
too much gayness and sleaze?
I really take offense.
Yeah, you have every right to. Yeah.
I really, really, really take offense to things, but gayness, that's
too much gayness.
Yeah, man. I mean, and what does that even mean?
So what? Let me leave my pink feather boa next door.
I mean, what are we? Are we all talking about blowjobs 24/7 on the show? I mean, what? You know?
Yeah, it's just too phallic for you, huh? But here's my question: is what's the gayness limit? Like,
yeah.
should Sia not be visible on the show?
Yeah, yeah. What's the story?
Should there never be another gay person with Sia on the show?
And
should
just Sia have never been, and also, at what point does a topic go from being sleazy to being gay, or from being gay to being sleazy? Because I don't know where that line is, I've never thought about it before.
So
but thanks so much.
So we
Mark.
Can talk about music, but we can't talk about Elton John. We can talk about television, but we can't talk about Ellen DeGeneres.
I have to be honest, Mark. It might be time. You might have just outgrown the show. Maybe you're more mature than we are. Because anyway, he says, listen to all the background sounds that Sia makes. Sometimes you talk over one another. That's probably a technical thing, which I'll get to. This is a long email, by the way. He says, all Pumi seems to do is laugh with a very limited display of talent. I'm sure she has. And for God's sake, her voice is too soft. She really sounds like she needs a boost. Okay, well, I'll pass that on to Pumi. But, you know, this is part of the challenge of working at a distance, is that even our guests, if we were in the studio, we'd have the same problem, and we always have for years. You know, radio's always had an issue with telephone lines. It's never been good enough, and I agree with that. But this is a technical solution. It's not because we're lazy. Sia's in Durban at the moment. There would be no way for him to do the show from Durban if we weren't doing this. He says, the reality is our internet in South Africa is not fast enough to produce fluent sound quality. You guys must either have access to high-speed internet or operate from the studio where you have the equipment you need. And I'm telling you that that doesn't make a difference. My opinion is that you should discontinue the audio-visual presentation of the show. It imposes limitations. Now, I agree with that, but what we've got is the software that we use, this webinar jam, which people can comment on. And we've made that open to the public. We used to use the same stuff before we started allowing everybody to come on and watch via the link. So we were using it anyway before. It's not because we wanted to go visual. It's just that we were doing this anyway so we could see each other, and now you can watch as well. So, Mark, really, I mean, you don't have to watch either. You can listen on podcast. I don't believe that the quality is diminished. And if you do, then again, there are other shows for you. Seriously, dude. I mean, I'd love to be able to help you out here, but it seems to me we've just outgrown each other. It's like when, you know, a couple fall out of love, and I hope that's not too gay for you.
Yeah, well, that was a little gay because you sounded a little
bit. It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So, I'd even go so far to say that was too gay.
Yeah. So I'm thinking we better, we better take our foot off that gay accelerator because it's getting too much.
Does Mark say whether the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior from Bethlehem, is the mark for too gay?
No. He does say he doesn't like the swearing and he hates it when there's blasphemy on the show, but he's not a Christian, so that's very confusing. Oh, I'm very confused. I don't know. Look, here are some points from some of the other people who listen, who are not as nice as we are. Mornay says Mark should just leave. There's no need to make an announcement of his departure. It's not an airport. Caleb says, are you saying... I know that's got to do with you, Mbulelo. We'll get to that in a second. Tracy says, dear Mark, Mbulelo, who they call Bulaweo here. His reaction says it all. That's you, Mbulelo. Lee says, Mark can just fuck off. His opinion is ridiculous and not shared by me. Rickus says, Mark is probably upset with all his life choices. Now he's taking it out on the show. Hey, I don't know that. He might be a very happy guy. Mr. Schmangel says, Mark needs a man acting like a bitch. Goodbye, you homophobe. Well, I don't know if he's a homophobe either. Maybe he just doesn't like the feel of the show. I mean, listen, again, I got to be perfectly frank with you. This is not a show where I'm going to beg you to listen. And it's not like I'm dependent on ratings. You know, I don't work for the SABC anymore. I did that and I hated it. I hated going on every day and trying to please everybody, because when you try to please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody. So we do this show. We do this show every morning. Whomsoever in the world wants to listen to us, and we got listeners all over the world and the numbers aren't going down, they're going up, then I'm happy. Then that to me is a good sign. But it's not because we're trying to please everybody. And it's not because we've got an agenda. You know, if anything, this show has no agenda. It's one of the things that makes it different. And, Mark, I'm sorry to see you go, dude, but maybe it's time for us to part ways. I'm certainly not going to beg you to stay. I'm ask any of my ex-girlfriends. They'll tell you I'm no good at that. And when I stop making an effort, then, you know.
It's all over. Look, no. In the spirit of being what we are, and I think Africa is that you never ever want to just dismiss feedback. So, Mark, what I might say to you, where you won't hear any gayness at all and no blasphemy is on the podcast I listen to, Joel Osteen or whatever his name is.
Oh, Osteen. He's good. Yeah, Osteen. He's great.
Amen.
He keeps advertising his podcast on podcasts I listen to. So he's available for you as an option. And I would imagine zero gayness and just no blasphemy. So already you're welcome. Go ahead and do that. Like, you know, I'd hate to see him go, but there's another option for you where zero gayness.
This is the best / worst breakup ever. It's like, yeah, go.
No, dude, you know, like, again, everybody has their thing. You don't have to stick around.
I don't
want this show to ever feel like we're all trying to please each other. Because there's that, you know, you can see that also with like a couple when the fire has gone out. And I want to be the first one to say we're canceling the show the day that I'm bored. I promise you I'm not going to come here and do this just for shits and giggles, because there are other ways we can earn money. That's not why we're doing it. And I also realize that this is not the business that's going to turn me into a millionaire. So if it goes by the wayside, I'll have to start something new. And that's also 100% fine with me. But I enjoy it. And part of the reason we're here every morning is because I feel, as I said in my blog at the end of last year, I was like, this is a bit of a meditative thing every day. We all get to share our stories. We all get to communicate. I think it's really helped me during lockdown. And I know it's helped many other people too, just to get through the year, because it's there every morning. It's been consistent. We haven't missed a single show over the whole year. And I feel like that's important in uncertain times like this. So, you know what, for whatever it's worth, if you like it, great. Please stick around. And if you don't like it, then please go. And if you feel you can leave us with some parting shots that might improve us, as Mark has, then please do that. I'm only too happy for the feedback. And whether or not we take it on board, we'll see. I want to introduce this new thing.
Talking about improving. Yes. Yeah. So, one thing for the week. Talking about improving.
All right. Also. So this is the idea here, and really I'm still playing with it because I was flooded with a bunch of new ideas yesterday, which is always a good sign. You know, you don't want to start the year doing less. So what I've decided to do, I want the year to be better and bigger. So what I've decided to do is one thing for the week, and it's an easy to follow, practical, useful thing that you're going to start incorporating into your life. And we're going to do it live on the show as a feature for a minute or two, and then we'll put it out as a podcast and a little, you know, written feature once a day with the sound clip, and you could pass it on to other people if you think it works for you. So today I was thinking about one thing that you can do to improve your life and one thing that you might want to start doing, and we'll do one of these every week.
Okay.
This one is, it sounds really simple, but I noticed over the holiday that I was spending a lot of time with my family, which I'm lucky enough. They live nearby. Many people's parents or children live in foreign countries. They live far away from them. Bulelo, your parents, your mom is in Limpopo. So lots of people are not near their parents all the time. And sometimes those relationships aren't always the greatest. People have fights in the family and all the rest of it. So it is the beginning of a brand new year. The whole human race is going through all kinds of shit at the moment. It's not worth having these family feuds. So what I thought was, for the first one for this week, even if it's just one person in the family who you've had an issue with for a long time, pick up the phone or send them an email or whatever your preferred means of communication is. Meet with them if you can and put one of those bad relationships to bed. In other words, and this kind of relates to maybe Mark's email too, is just get rid of one bad relationship. Get rid of one uncomfortable personal feeling that you have that you don't need. You don't need to be carrying, you know, an issue that you had when you were 12 with your cousin because the two of you fought over a toy. Whatever it is, it could be as silly as that. It could be a really big deal, like you've never spoken to your father because he left your mom when you were 4 and you've had an issue with him your whole life, but he's still alive and there are people who don't have their fathers anymore. Maybe it's time for you to just try and reconcile. And even if it doesn't work, you've tried. You've made that effort. So call someone in your family, maybe a relative you haven't spoken to for a long time that you don't have an issue with, but you just haven't spoken for a long time, and just say hi. Just check in on them. Be the bigger person. Say something nice. Make them feel good about themselves. Wish them all the best for 2021. And after that, if it all just goes back to being the way that it was, at least you've tried. So your conscience is clear. And I think this is such a simple thing to be able to do. So pick up the phone, try and meet with them, maybe video call them, whatever's the easiest for you. And just get that one person who's been offside back on. Try. It's the least you can do. And if you've had that experience.
And you guys have to be friends after this.
No. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. But I do think this would be a really fun thing to do with someone in your family, because it can lead to a lot of positive stuff. You might just save them from a really bad life decision. You never know. And wouldn't you rather be on the good side of that than on the bad?
So this is going to be like a weekly assignment, a weekly exercise.
There's going to be something. Some of the times it's going to be something silly. Sometimes it's going to be something really cool. And for today, just call a relative, your parents, someone you haven't spoken to in the family for a long time, and sort out whatever the issue is. And let's put some of those issues together.
In the holidays, I haven't been surprised or shocked in a while. And I had a call from a cousin who things have been fractious after he saw me on your show. So What Now? And we had a maybe 2 or 3 hour conversation. We haven't spoken since I left the UK. So that's a long, long time. That's 16 years we haven't spoken, because he had some, he's always felt a certain way about some of the family attention I got. And he's been kind of holding that in since then. And he called me and said how happy he was for me. Like I said, I haven't been shocked in a long, long time. But that for that phone call
great.
To come through, and I had almost dismissed him. And it was just awesome for him to be big enough to do that.
You know, you don't have to have an issue. In Yiddish, they call it verribbles. You don't have to have verribbles with someone in your family. You can make that go away. Usually, it's the dumbest thing, and usually it only is important to the two of you, and anyone else looking at it objectively would think it was ridiculous and childish. Venetia says, I did that during December. I reached out to cousins that I've been estranged from. I grew up with them, and you know that they don't even know my daughter. It's been that long. So you see, that kind of thing. I mean, that would be – you just feel – even if nothing happens and it doesn't change the situation, at least you've tried. Your conscience is clear. So that's good. All right, it's time for us to check in on the five things which we have this morning, the five headlines. So let's get into some of those. Where do you want to start? Let's start with this suspect beheaded after alleged Durban drug kingpin Teddy Mafia was killed. Now, I actually got this video. You know, people, I'm on a lot of these weird groups. So I saw this video. I didn't know what was going on because I don't know who Teddy Mafia is. But he's a drug kingpin known as Teddy. But his real name was Yaganathan Pillay. He was fatally shot in Chatsworth on Monday. According to police, he told his daughter that he was expecting visitors. The daughter then left him and went to the back of the house where she heard gunshots. Pillay was found injured, rushed to hospital, and was declared dead upon arrival. Two other people were beheaded outside his home, and a large crowd had gathered. Whew.
He's like...
You're beheaded with like an axe. The police is... The police is Jay Nyker said the community then attacked the two men who were allegedly involved. They were beheaded and set alight on the road. The police arrived on the scene to attend to reports of the shooting. There was a standoff between police and members of the community. So I got this video, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. So now I know what it is, at least. That's a hideous story. This is happening like a medieval-style beheading in the street in South Africa, in Durban. Sia, you should watch out. Don't go too far away from home today.
The killer, man.
An ANC Johannesburg councillor accused of rape has decided to voluntarily step down from his duties with immediate effect. So he's been accused of rape and he's done the right thing. He stepped down. I think that's great. And we shouldn't jump to praising the guy because he could still be guilty of it. But I think it's absolutely right that while you're busy clearing your name, you need to get out of office. You can't be a politician and pretend that you are holding the people's interests close to your heart when you have massive personal issues like this. And being accused of rape is about as serious as things get. So in a statement released by the accused, he said, I'm fully committed to participating with the legal process in order to ensure a free and fair trial and the resolution of this very serious matter. I remain a loyal and committed member of the ANC, and I trust in the judicial process, which guarantees my right to a free and fair trial. Good for you. And this kind of behavior should be applauded. We're not sure who the councillor is, but the ANC said they're disgusted and outraged to learn about the allegations of rape against their PR.
No, they are not. That is a lie. There is nothing.
This is a media statement they just put out. They just said they are outraged and disgusted. What do you mean, Bulela? What are you talking about? Do you know inside info? We don't.
No, because I know you're being sarcastic, Gareth, but they are not disgusted. Their pattern of behavior has shown me that somebody having rape and allegations, you made the one guy your president, for God's sake. After
yes, okay, I see. You know what? Your standards are just too high. You expect people to not be raping. I mean, how dare you, Mbulelo?
Here's my thing. I've always thought, rape, don't do it. That I've always believed that. Maybe I'm old school. Who knows?
Well, meanwhile, I spoke yesterday about the border at Bight Bridge, which actually has come up in conversation over the last 24 hours quite a lot. There's people who've been stuck in trucks for like 4 days. No food, no water. They're kind of shitting on the side of the road. Can you imagine how awful that is?
Betty Bridge is how the Zimbabweans say it.
Well,
Betty Bridge.
I'm really, really sad about this because these are people who work very hard. Some of them are truck drivers. Some of them people just desperate to get back to work. They went to visit their families for Christmas and now they can't get back to South Africa. And it's incompetence of the highest order by our Home Affairs Department, as usual. So I don't have very high expectations for South Africa's bureaucracy, but I feel very sorry for people who've been... Imagine being stuck without food and water in a vehicle at the border post for 4 days. Four days?
So I've been stuck at the Lesotho border. We were bringing some stuff back from a place called AfriSki in Lesotho,
mm-hmm.
and there was a problem with paperwork. So we were essentially stuck at the border for 4 days, but at least we could just go back into Lesotho and go to a hotel.
Right.
Like, that was a nightmare.
Yeah,
that was
an
absolute nightmare. These people are in the pits of hell.
These poor people. So it's not just there. You mentioned the Lesotho border because that's where the story from this morning comes from. Lesotho police have recovered the bodies of 7 people believed to have been trying to cross into South Africa through the Mohokare River. The bodies were retrieved just before Christmas Day and Saturday. The river is located on the Ficksburg border in the Free State between South Africa and Lesotho. It's understood there could be more bodies in the water. With the festive season coming to an end, border officials are manning the various ports of entry amid expectations some more people may enter the country illegally. And we'll speak to JJ Cornish in a little while because it's the first of our annual features, bi-weekly features, this annum, this year, with JJ Cornish coming up just now. African analysis is just around the corner. The BBC are reporting that Iran has resumed enriching uranium to 20% purity at the Fordo facility, and there's a nice picture of the Ayatollah looking at the goings-on in some nuclear refinery. And, of course, Ayatollahs and nuclear weapons go together so well. We're all thrilled about this development. This is terrific news.
And for those who have no scientific background, uranium and dictators is not a good combination because when you talk about destructive power, so some people may not know this, Gareth, you're asking for trouble.
Really?
I don't know.
You know
what people know. People are out there.
So Iran is carrying on with its enrichment of uranium. They say that they want to make reactor fuel, but also nuclear bombs. Weapons-grade uranium is at 90% purity, but they're trying to only get it to 20% so that we must be calm about this.
I'm sure they are.
We mustn't get too nervous. But there we go. The Ayatollahs are back at it, starting 2021 as nicely as they possibly can. And a UK court rejected Julian Assange's extradition to the United States. His partner is very pleased about this. She was on TV. Stella Morris, she burst into tears and she wiped his forehead as the decision was announced. And outside the Old Bailey in central London, his supporters who'd gathered since early morning erupted in cheers and shouted, "Free Assange." Now, it's still going to be a while before he's actually released, but he doesn't have to go to the U.S. to face what could be a very, very complicated argument over there about what is considered free information and what is considered a security threat. So this is a good move for Julian Assange and a big loss for the United States, who were keen to have him there and to charge him with various crimes, including releasing information which was considered to have been privileged. It is time, and I see he is looking extremely ambitious for the forthcoming year. He's looking happy and healthy, and I'm pleased to see it. JJ Cornish, how are you, sir?
Bonjour to you. I'm immensely well, and bonne année.
Yes, bonne année to you. So, JJ, I hope you had a nice Christmas and New Year. Of course, the news never takes a break, so there's lots to talk about this morning. But how are you before we crack into all of the information?
Any better, Gareth, I'd have to tell the cops. Eh?
Now, we were just talking, JJ, about the situation on two of our borders. There seems to be quite a lot of traffic on the Lesotho border and obviously the one that everyone's talking about, the Zimbabwean border at the moment. And this has to do with a number of things. It has to do with our own incompetence in running our borders properly, which has been an issue for years, but now with COVID is exacerbated. And it has to do also with COVID, because COVID's one of the reasons that we are taking so long to process people. We're very concerned to be letting people in, people who could be spreading the disease. But the rest of Africa seems to be taking a very laissez-faire policy about COVID. I have friends who went to Tanzania, and they said to me, they could care less in Tanzania about coronavirus.
Well, you know, what they've said in Tanzania, and John Magufuli, a rather authoritarian figure, but he is saying that we're not going to have vaccines in Tanzania. We're simply going to use herbal measures. Now, we've had herbal measures against COVID all over Africa, starting with that soft drink in Madagascar and others. But now, you know, I mean, the fact is Africa is approaching the second wave. South Africa by far leads the number of cases, the number of deaths, the number of recoveries, too. And the World Health Organization has put it top of the list of 10 African countries that it regards as the most serious. Mm-hmm. But we are nevertheless in Africa much lighter, affected far more lightly than those in the rest of the world. As you see what's happening in Britain, in Germany, in Holland, France, the second round is very much in play, and there are new lockdowns. I mean, lockdowns that are virtually as serious as those in March. Yeah. Now, in Africa, we have schools. Kenyan schools are going back or have gone back. Ghanaian schools are going back on the 9th. That's after being locked down since March. So life is, in a way, returning to normal. The fact is, though, Africa is not getting the vaccines. You know, they're talking about an apartheid on vaccines. This COVAX situation through the World Bank Organization, World Health Organization, is underfunded. South Africa paid its deposit on that rather late. And we haven't had any sign of it yet. So countries are having to find other means of getting vaccines. You know, this is the light, so-called light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't seen that light yet. And until we do, we're going to continue suffering, as it were. But until we do, the rest of the world can't say that they've got immunity. You can't cut out an entire region and hoard the vaccine for yourself, which is what is happening. Three times the populations in some countries, there's enough vaccine to put it into the arms of their population three times over. Well, until they said get it to Africa, they won't have the so-called international herd immunity that they're looking for.
I wonder if when the final analysis is done, and it might only be a year from now, that we eventually get to figure out the numbers, because lockdowns, obviously, if they didn't, you know, if they'd worked the first time, we wouldn't have to do them a second time. But I wonder what countries like Tanzania will have on their balance sheet when it comes to deaths and infections and the effect on their economy under a president like Magufuli, when we have, you know, the exact opposite happening here with Zweli Mkhize and lockdowns and testing and all of that stuff. I wonder what we're going to find in the final accounting of this. At this point, it's going to be conjecture, but let's wait and see. Now, what I'm curious...
You know, Gareth, it's going to be a really sort of deadly petri dish. Look at Sweden. I mean, Sweden, well, it didn't have lockdowns. It hasn't done many things. Well, of course, in Scandinavia, Sweden has the largest, highest death rate at the moment, and they're starting to... bring in tougher measures.
Yeah.
You know, the BBC reported tougher measures in Sweden for the first time since the pandemic. My daughter's teaching in Sweden. I phoned her. I said, well, at last they're doing something, because she's been going to school every day as a teacher, you know, and she's not allowed to wear a mask in the class because it frightens the children. And I said, well, they're cutting down on they're getting tougher. And she said, you know, they're forcing mask wearing on public transport and so on. She said, yes, from the 19th of January. But the thing about the Swedes, they say, well, if you're going to, we advise you against traveling.
Hmm.
And they did that last Easter, and something like 11% of the population did travel. And at Christmas time, they cut back, or they advised people to cut back, and they did. Swedes are very obedient.
Yeah.
But they're also very stubborn in their way, and, you know, and like to be right. And so when the final reckoning is done, as you mentioned, I think a lot of countries are going to be quite red-faced with embarrassment, not to say complicit and liable to face a lot of legal action, I would have thought.
Now, let's look, and perhaps also if they did too much in the way of trying to come up with plans, they might be held responsible for that too, if not legally, then at the ballot box. But let's see what happens. So, JJ, back to Africa, because I'm very curious about this one story that you've been playing around with. DRC President Felix Tshisekedi has pardoned 26 people, linked to the 2001 assassination of Laurent Kabila. Now, I remember that assassination. Was that never, did we never find out who it was who did that? Did we never get to the bottom of that? Tell us the whole story here.
Well, to this day, I'm getting reports that it was, in fact, South Africa was behind that. And I mean, they denied, obviously. Okay. You know, Laurent Kabila, who Che Guevara described as a drunken whoremonger, just to be polite, you know, he is an example of democracy in Africa. Democracy in Africa means sometimes you don't really worry about who you vote for. You simply vote against who's there, because anything in the world would be better than that.
Mm-hmm.
The apartheid regime is a perfect example. You know, well, how could you have voted for the ANC, people might say. Well, would you have voted to maintain the apartheid regime? No, nobody was going to do that. Nobody was going to keep voting for Idi Amin. We got Yoweri Museveni, who's been there for more than 3 decades. Well, when we had Mobutu Sese Seko, the kleptocrat par excellence,
yes,
anything was better than that. And South Africa helped to get him out. And in came Laurent Kabila. And I think South Africa very early on realized that, you know, sometimes, and then I remember a South African official saying to me, well, this is why we oppose that concept called regime change.
Mm.
If you're going to change your regime, you better know what you're going to replace it with. So we got Laurent Kabila, and things looked very bad. Anyway, he got topped in January 21, and his bodyguard, Eddie Kapena, was blamed. 24 people got sentenced to death. None of those death sentences were ever carried out. Some people did die in jail. Well, of course, his son Joseph came in.
Right.
I remember going to observing elections where his son Joseph came in, and when his son spoke, everybody in the hall I was in was laughing, and they said, well, I said, so what is so funny? And he said, well, listen to his accent. He's not even a Congolese, you know. Anyway, he was there until 2019. Then he stepped down when Felix Tshisekedi won the election. There was a kind of a coalition, but Tshisekedi more and more and more, who was an arch rival, of course, of Kabila's, has tried to run the country himself, to be more independent.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps this pardoning the 26 people who've been in jail, charged or accused of the assassination attempt, pardoning them might be part of his quest for independence. But of course, the Congo has a parlous record of political assassinations, starting with the 1961 killing of Patrice Lumumba, you know, with the Belgians, and of course the CIA involved in that. Belgium has apologized for that. But that's one of the great tragedies of Africa, was the assassination of Patrice Lumumba, the first independence leader of the Congo. So it's a country that, you know, the fact is, when you have outside interference in affairs, things always go pear-shaped.
Would Joseph Kabila have had as long a tenure as he had, or even have risen to prominence, if his father hadn't been killed?
I would have, and I doubted that very, very seriously. He wasn't a wildly impressive guy. In fact, you know, Joseph Kabila, it has to be said, was just a tad underwhelming, you know.
And the Congo, I mean, you've been to the Congo. So to me, it's always been this really fascinating place. And I've got friends who've been there, and they say to me, it's a bit like the Wild West out there. And, you know, we've all read Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness, which has been reviewed recently by kind of modern scholars as being full of all kinds of ugliness that we, you know, we should really put to the past and to human experience of the 1800s. But the reality is that the place is a bit of a mess, and there's still huge internecine battles, and the east and the west of the Congo don't talk, and then across the Congo River you've got Brazzaville, and that doesn't talk to the Democratic Republic of Congo. So, I mean, what's the story there at the moment? Is there any light at the end of the tunnel for them?
Well, a little bit, in the sense that, the east of the Congo is working a little better, and Tshisekedi seems to be doing a sort of halfway decent job. The fact that it's still together, that huge country at the beating heart of Africa, surrounded by, 11 other neighbors, is still a single entity, is in itself a kind of African miracle. You know, it should have broken apart. The secessionists who killed Patrice Lumumba should really have, you know, under the country should really be broken. But it's there, it's together and trying. If it works, you know, for example, if the hydroelectric program that it has does manage to work, then, I mean, it could power the entire Africa. You know, if it worked, Zimbabwe could feed great parts of Africa. I mean, it's part of that plan of the new Africa, that if certain countries manage to really work, this continent really will see its new dawn. Africa being the kind of commercial hub, the various other countries being the real breadbasket, but the Congo would be the country that would power Africa.
You know,
and the point is, they have to get it together, and they're nowhere near that.
From your mouth to God's ears, I mean, it would just be amazing if, and we have to eat this elephant one bite at a time, and I would just love to see one of those things come true, and I really do hope for the Congo that they manage to have some good news in 2021. Now, while we're talking about 2021, there are a number of elections that are on the slate in this year. Which countries are you most interested in, and where are you going to be focused for the period of 2021?
Well, I mean, I'd like to say I'll be in some of them. It depends. You know, ISA, the Electoral Institute for Sustainable Development in Africa, Sustainable Democracy in Africa, it's listed 26 countries that have elections. Mm-hmm. I think the first of those will be Central African Republic, that has a runoff election coming up. And then, of course, I mentioned Yoweri Museveni. He's fighting off Bobby Wine later this month, too. So Uganda, the Central African Republic, are the two that immediate ones. But Angola has elections. Niger, where they killed 100 villagers just 2 days ago, they have elections in February. South Africa, of course, is on that list because they have local elections
in
August.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Many of them, presidential elections in Benin, in Cape Verde, in Chad, again, a country badly beset with jihadi violence.
Right.
Djibouti, that country, you know, in the Horn of Africa, which is really which has signed deals with China, defense deals, and has a Chinese base on it. the many, many, many countries. You know, we could speak for a whole morning on the number of African countries about to go to the polls. But again, you know, we look at this and we hope for democracy. But democracy has been so badly bruised, not only in Africa, but in the world, the developed world. You know, what has happened in the United States, is that democracy? What has happened with Brexit, is that democracy? Supposedly. Now, in Africa, again, we have the democracy, and people say on paper we have more elections than we have coups. That's certainly the case. But who are we voting for in Africa? Yeah. Is it simply the alternative is just too ghastly to contemplate? Does that make it democracy?
You know, I would love us, and I don't ever want to propose an agenda to you, but I'd love us to look at some of these countries in some detail. And today I really enjoyed the story about the Congo because it gives the context for what's going on there now. There's so many stories, obviously, that are about the here and now, and most of the election stories will be about that stuff. But I'm sure that there are places in Africa that we could all do with a little bit of a brushing up on. And I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about the Gambia, Equatorial Guinea. You mentioned Central African Republic, where we had troops that were attacked not so long ago. I'd love to have some of those discussions in the forthcoming year too, rather than focus only on the news, as important as it is. And I know that these are things that you care very much about and that you've spent an enormous amount of time studying and investigating, and you have friends in these places, you have colleagues who you speak to there, and that's the kind of thing that we just love getting from you. So thank you very much again, JJ, and I think it's going to be a great year. It's good to have you on board.
Well, I will look at something in detail every time we speak in future. What are the Spanish-speaking countries in Africa? We know the French, we know the Lusophone, we know the English.
Angola. Angola is Portuguese, and so is Mozambique, right? So we've got...
Yes, yes.
What do we have?
You mentioned Equatorial Guinea, yes. It's Spanish. And the other is Western Sahara, which, was the colony of Spain before Franco fell. Yeah.
I would love to hear a bit more about these places because, you know, this is our immediate neighborhood. This is like under lockdown, I've suddenly got to know my neighbors. So maybe this is one of the reasons that we should focus on our immediate neighbors on the continent as well. Thank you very much. JJ Cornish, Africanalysis, which is brought to you every 2 weeks by the Joburg Business School. You can find out more about them, the Johannesburg Business School, by going onto the internet. Look them up. They do amazing stuff. And they're also connected all over the continent. And they want you to consider, especially if you are in business or you're thinking about business or you're studying, what opportunities and potential there is on this enormous continent of ours. And in places like the Congo, which we were talking about today, where only the brave tread from a business point of view, but there is enormous opportunity in a place like that if you're prepared to go and figure it out and do some investigation. JJ Cornish and Africanalysis. And it's good to have him back on in the first week of January 2021. So it's almost 7 o'clock. In fact, it is just gone 7. So when we come back, we've got Ben Karpinski joining us. We've got lots to talk about this morning, and we will take your thoughts and your calls, 0797482090. You can also send us a message live on the screen and let us know what you're up to. It is all happening with me, with Mbulelo, with Sia, cliffcentral.com. Get on board. Tell us what you're up to this morning.
Cliffcentral.com.